The Buddha once said that if you're going to grasp the Dharma, you have to grasp it in the right way. It's like grasping a snake. If you grasp it at the tail, it's going to bite you. If you take a forked stick and pin it down by its neck, then no matter how much it writhes around your arm, it's not going to harm you at all. It's strange that the Dharma would be like a snake, but the Dharma that he taught, of course, is words. It came out of the Dharma of his heart, which is something that lies beyond words. But putting it into words, there's always the problem that words are conventions, and people can misunderstand the words. This point applies particularly with the teaching on karma, karma and rebirth. There are lots of ways you can misunderstand and misuse these teachings. But there are lots of ways also when, if you grasp them properly, they're extremely helpful for the practice. There are issues that the Buddha admitted were not things that he could prove to people beforehand. The proof would lie in taking them as working hypotheses and applying them to your life, your practice of virtue, concentration, and discernment for the sake of putting an end to suffering. Now, if you use the teachings for other reasons, trying to assign blame, say, outside, or decide that there are certain people you're not going to help because obviously they've had bad karma, that's an abuse of the teaching. Or if you're going to justify injustices in the world, that's an abuse of the teaching too. Because just because someone is poor right now doesn't mean that they only have the potential for poverty. You can't see everybody's, all the people's past karma. There's a statement that floats around in Buddhist circles: if you want to see someone's past actions, you look at their present state. If you want to see their future state, you look at their present actions. But that's much too simplistic. It's as if we had one karma account, like one bank account, and what you see right now is the running balance. The Buddha's image is of a field in which lots of seeds are being planted all the time. Some seeds were planted a long time ago, and different seeds sprout at different rates. So what you see right now are simply the seeds that are currently sprouting. As for seeds that have already sprouted a long time ago and stopped, you don't see those. And the ones that are still there in the field waiting to sprout, you don't see those either. So just looking at someone's present situation, you have no idea what all is in their karmic past. So that's no reason to justify abusing them or keeping them poor. Because after all, you've got lots of seeds in your karmic field that you don't know about either. So you see someone else who's suffering from some bad seeds right now, the proper reaction is to have compassion. Because that's how you would want people to treat you when your bad seeds come out. And as I said this afternoon, if your compassion is so exacting that you can give it only to people who are totally innocent of any wrongdoing, there's not going to be anybody out there you can find to receive your compassion. We have to have compassion for everybody, because we're all in this together. And although it may seem like the teachings on karma focus your attention a lot on the past and future, the Buddha would always bring the issue back into the present, because the future and past are very much intimately connected with the present. It's not like the present is something that stands outside of time. Because on the one hand, what you're doing right now will have an impact now, and it will have an impact into the future. So you want to think about that. And it can have an impact for a long time to come. You want to think about that, too. It makes you a lot more careful. The Buddha's test for a teaching is, does it lead you to do skillful things? And the teaching on karma is very much one that focuses on the power of your actions right now. The same with rebirth. That allows for your actions to have lots of ramifications and lots of reverberations throughout time. So you want to be extremely careful about what you're doing. at the same time, when you're focused on the present, you want to keep in mind lessons of things you've done in the past, heard in the past, picked up from the past. That's what mindfulness is all about. We're trying to remember what we can that will help us shape the present well, right now. So we're seeing the present in the context of the past and future, so that we shape the present in a good direction. That's what the teachings are for. Particularly right here, while you're meditating, karma is extremely relevant to meditation because you're doing something. There are a lot of metaphysical issues that the Buddha didn't touch. Is the world eternal? Is it infinite? Those are questions he didn't answer. Is yourself the same as the body? Is yourself something else? Didn't touch that either. Do you have a self? Do you not have a self? Didn't touch that one. Because he said none of these questions were conducive to the path to the end of suffering. But that path to the end of suffering is a path of action. And if the Buddha is going to teach us how our actions can lead to the end of suffering, he's got to explain action. Is it real? Do you actually have choices? Do those choices lead to results? Now, what kind of results? How far can those results go out? Those are questions he had to answer. Because you're doing something right now as you meditate. It's not like meditation is simply being without doing. Each time you choose to stay with the breath, that's an action, it's an intention. Each time you say, it doesn't matter, I'm going to go someplace else, that would be another intention. So you're trying to ride herd on your intentions here. You remember, what you experience right now is a combination of several factors, including past and present karma. So when a thought comes up in the mind, you have to ask yourself, to what extent am I engaging in that thought now, and to what extent is that thought simply just the reverberation of something I did in the past? Especially when you find your mind overwhelmed with all kinds of thoughts coming in. It's good to remember, okay, you've got some stuff in the past that may be coming up now. And in cases like that, you've got to ride out the storm, find some corner of the mind where you can stay focused on the breath energy. Some corner of the body where you can stay focused on the breath energy, and make that your spot. It's like that huge windstorm we had here years back. The Santa Anas were supposed to calm down that night at midnight. It turned out that they got worse at midnight. Trees were falling down all over the place. What could you do? Couldn't go outside. You just had to hunker down, stay in your hut. Wait till the storm had passed, and then you could come out. It wasn't a time to go out and enjoy the orchard. Well, it's the same when there are lots of storms in your mind. You've got to find a safe place inside, and just being with the in and out breath, be with the word butto or whatever meditation word you find is helpful. And say, this is it, this is what I got to hold on to. And as long as you don't engage those thoughts, you're not engaged in any present karma with them, they'll run out. Because that's the good thing about karma. But it's also the scary thing about karma. The good thing is the bad karma can run out, but the scary thing is the good karma runs out too. So what are you going to do? Well, you want to get a path, or get on the path that leads you beyond karma. That's what the Eightfold Path is all about. Because given that karma is a complex system, one of the features of a complex system is that you get out of it by working within the laws of the system, but those laws can get you out of the system entirely. It's like the rules of mathematics. Certain equations, you plug in different numbers and suddenly you find that you've divided something by zero, and then you're outside of the system entirely. So you can use intentions to get beyond intentions, because that's what nirvana is, beyond intentions. It's something deathless, something unconditioned. It's the only true happiness, it's the only reliable happiness, it's the only harmless happiness. And that's why you want to go there. It's not a there to go to, but it's a dimension. And where do you find that? It's a kind of freedom, and it's right next to your freedom of choice here in the present moment. That's another reason why we meditate, is we want to get really familiar with what it means to have freedom of choice right here and now. Most people have this potential, but they've got it buried with so many misunderstandings that it's almost as if it's not there. It is. It is there, but it gets buried. And what we're trying to do is uncover it. And simply the fact that you have the power to choose one thought over another, that's an exercise of that freedom. So choose the good thoughts. Choose the ones that will be helpful. If you can get a state of mind that doesn't have to think, okay, that's even better, because you can watch things very carefully in that stillness. But we want to keep focusing on where is your freedom of choice right now, and use it in the best way possible. Because as I said, eventually, as you get more and more sensitive to what you're doing, you find that your actions get more and more refined. To finally, things open up. You see things very clearly in the present moment. And you realize there's a way not to choose to do anything at all, not to choose to stay, not to choose to go. And that's when you open up to a different kind of freedom. And that's the right use of the teaching in karma. So grasp it well. It has its convolutions, just like the snake coiling around your arm. But make sure if you grasp it properly, they're not going to harm you at all. As the Buddha said, the workings of karma are so complex that if you try to think about all of them, you go crazy. So think about only the aspects that are really helpful. What are you doing right now? Is it skillful? What will its results be? What can you do to make sure that you get better and better at your skill? Like as you're staying with the breath, how you can get more stably concentrated, more reliably concentrated. Not get worked up about the things that eat away at your concentration. One of the worst things you can do with concentration is be impatient about it. You want to be steady and consistent in your efforts, but you also have to have a lot of patience. Because you are dealing with something very complex in your mind. Past karma, present karma. And in the beginning, it all seems mixed up in a big jumble. But as you stick with this thread of making your mind, you've got to stay with one thing and carry it through, then you can pull out other threads as well. Until the whole mass gets untangled. So use the teaching for its proper purpose. It's a working hypothesis that really works.